Chapter 14. Touched by Grace. Everyone who knew Johnny Cash will attest to the fact that he was not an unhappy man. Despite his penchant for black clothing and songs about murder, Cash was an optimistic, loving, kind, and humorous person. Anyone less in love with life would have soon been beaten down by the setbacks he suffered. He delighted in friendships, in knowledge, in family, in music, in nature, and in God. "I can sing songs of death. I've seen a lot of it," he once said, "but I'm obsessed with life." Yet pain characterized Cash's life, emotionally, physically, and spiritually. It made him the man he was and gave him great compassion for others. The trauma of witnessing the death of his beloved brother Jack was the catalyst for his art. Introspective analysis produced poetry and songs. The humiliation meted out by his father left him insecure and shy, but, as with so many other performers with tyrannical fathers, it gave him the desire for acclaim and the determination to prove his worth. Cheating on Vivian and shirking his family duties added guilt to his pain. His drugs of choice not only alleviated the pain, but also assuaged the guilt. While high, he could behave abominably without remorse. Some drugs, he discovered, could save a man from his sins, not by nullifying them, but by camouflaging them. No wonder he felt they'd been sent to him by God. The short-term effect of the drugs left behind a tiredness laced with unresolved insecurity and unacknowledged sin. The longer Cash remained under the influence of drugs, the deeper he became mired in regret and insecurity. For years, he dealt with this dilemma by taking more drugs, and so maintained the downward spiral. Indescribable physical pain, affecting virtually every part of his body, only added to his affliction. He broke his nose, his upper and lower jaw, a kneecap, a foot, 5 ribs, a thumb, an ankle, and more than 20 other bones. His heart, duodenum, spleen, stomach, eyes, mouth, toes, and intestines all underwent surgery, and he suffered at different times from tonsillitis, laryngitis, glaucoma, diabetes, compressed vertebrae, asthma, pneumonia, cystic sinusitis, and peritonitis. In the 1960s, he flirted on numerous occasions with death, usually with the help of amphetamines or alcohol. By the time Cash reached what would have been his retirement age, he suffered from a multitude of separate problems. No wonder he had such an attraction for painkillers, particularly the synthetic opiate derivative Percodan. Taking them after surgery to facilitate the healing process almost always led to the conclusion that the pills would heal just about anything, if he took enough. Perhaps Cash's greatest achievement was that he ultimately rose above all the pain. He came to see his trials, physical and mental, not as enemies to be defeated, but as tests from God to make him a stronger person. His physical suffering alone would have left many people bitter, but for him it never became a source of doubt or resentment. It was as if instead of asking, "Why me?" he learned to ask, "Why not me?" He took great comfort from the Old Testament book of Job and wrote a thesis on it to help his understanding. Job was a rich farmer who worshipped God, but the devil argued that Job's trust was in direct proportion to the lack of challenges in his life. Were Job to face sickness, loss, poverty, and destruction, he would moderate his faith. In order to prove the devil wrong, God allowed Job a period of severe testing during which even his closest friends turned on him, convincing him that he brought the evil upon himself through his own wrongdoing. Of course, Cash took solace from this story. Job stuck to his beliefs even when all the evidence appeared to contradict them. Like Job, Johnny trusted in a loving God even when completely engulfed by pain. "I never questioned God," Cash said in 2002. "I never doubted God. I can't understand people saying they get angry with God. I walked with God all the way through this. That's why I didn't fear. I never feared anything. Not at all. I can honestly say that." His emotional wounds could have made Cash an introvert, but instead of isolating himself, he spent his entire life reaching out to others. He treasured his quiet times in the solitude of fishing, walking, or losing himself in books. But he spent the bulk of his time in the company of friends, family, and fans. Lacking love from his father made him determined to be someone who gave it in abundance. Cash's suffering made him acutely aware of the suffering of others, At his funeral service and later at the tribute concert, artist after artist told how he had bought them food, paid for accommodations, donated guitars, or even clothed them when they fell on hard times. He used his music to raise money for prisoners, AIDS patients, orphans, drug addicts, alcoholics, autistic children, the illiterate, and countless other disadvantaged people. He said, "As I got to studying the Bible more, I found it part of my religion, not only an obligation but a privilege, to perform for people in bondage, especially those behind bars." He spoke most often of his spiritual pain, a battle waged within him, he said, between his divinely inspired desire to do right and his natural inclination to do wrong, between serving God and serving himself. He understood only too well what the Apostle Paul meant when he wrote, "We know that the law is spiritual, but I am unspiritual, sold as a slave to sin. I do not understand what I do. For what I want to do, I do not do, but what I hate, I do." Romans 7:14-15. His weakness bothered him. Why couldn't he defeat his temptations once and for all and live a consistent and placid life? Surely not every Christian was tempted as frequently as he was, and with such uneven results. "I fight the beast in me every day," he once said. "I've won a few rounds with God's help." Not everyone could identify with Cash's spiritual battle. Those immersed in the rock and roll lifestyle saw temptation as an opportunity rather than an obstacle, and thought that excess led to the palace of wisdom, as the poet William Blake put it, rather than to the gates of hell. But Cash held tightly to the orthodox Christian position. He believed that although he was redeemed, maybe even because he was redeemed, he was subject to spiritual attack. He believed in a devil who posed as an angel of light. The Reverend Jack Shaw, a pastor whom Cash took on the road with him in the 1990s to keep an eye on his spiritual condition, says that Cash expected to be subject to greater tests of faith because of the uniqueness of his gift and his frankness when discussing spiritual issues in public. "They say that you get shot at the most when you're closest to the target," he says. "They never let up on Johnny. He was always fighting temptation, but I believe that he had a powerful anointing on his life. He also had a compassionate heart, especially for those who were hurting." Yet Cash's Christian outlook never became self-righteous. He had too much in common with the drug addict, the alcoholic, the vandal, the thief, and the adulterer to ever want to disassociate himself from them. In his eyes, the only difference between him and them was that he was forgiven. "I used to have regrets," he once said, "but then I forgave myself. When God forgave me, I figured I'd better do it too." When Larry Gatlin found himself in a drug rehabilitation center in California in 1984, Cash was one of his first visitors. He didn't come to reprimand or chastise him. He came to show that he cared. "He never did preach to people," says Gatlin. "He shared his faith and his shortcomings with the whole world. John and June's lives were a book. They were open for everyone to see. They weren't perfect, but they were forgiven, and that was the message they shared." In 1974, perhaps mindful of some of his own early zealousness, he wrote a song admonishing those who prided themselves on their own righteousness and ignored the rest of the world. "Come heed me, my brothers, come heed one and all. Don't brag about standing or you'll surely fall. You're shining your light, and shine it you should. But you're so heavenly minded, you're no earthly good." No earthly good.